Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast. I'm so grateful that you're tuned in. I'm very excited about today's show because we are addressing the P word. It's the word that no one wants to face. It's the word that we put makeup on. We parade behind achievements and we mask with so many things. The word is perfectionism. This is a word that creeps into our lives in so many ways, and we have no idea that that is what's driving our mood. If your high standards are getting in the way of your peace and happiness, then this episode is for you. Before we get started, if there is anything in the show that you like, that inspires you, that challenges you in any way, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. Also, follow me on IG at Dr. Q Perry. Get your pen and paper and a mirror and let's dive in. What exactly is perfectionism? According to the Cambridge Dictionary, it's the wish for everything to be perfect. But on a personal level, it's really hard to define what is perfect because what I see as perfect may not be what you see as perfect. I think as you listen to this episode, I want you to really tune into the Holy Spirit and see what it is exactly that God is saying to you about your views and your ideals of perfection. There are a lot of different categories and ways that perfectionism shows up. Some of the main categories are work or school, performance or physical activity, such as sports, dance, any type of entertainment industry, extreme cleanliness, in your roles and relationships, in your physical appearance. So this can be your weight, your body image, your clothing. Can you all think of any others? If so, drop me a line. I'd be happy to hear other points of view on other categories of perfectionism. As you're listening, you might be wondering, how do I know if I'm a perfectionist? I'm going to go through a list of several ways that you can know if perfectionism is one of your hidden best friends. 1, your identity is tied to a particular area of your life, like your career, relationship status, athletics, academics. 2, your language or inner thoughts include words like never, always, should, must, have to. 3, you have extreme rules and requirements. 4, you think in all or nothing terms. 5, no one can meet your standards, not even you. 6, you get caught in a cycle of the more you work, the more you criticize yourself, and the more you work. 7, your whole mood changes when you make a mistake or you get constructive criticism. 8, you avoid situations that may show you as imperfect. 9, you avoid sharing your mistakes and flaws with other people. 10, you procrastinate on making progress because you don't want to mess it up. 11, you think you have to earn relaxation time or fun. 12, you waste unnecessary time obsessing over details. This is not an exhaustive list, but I think it's a pretty good start for us to be able to examine whether or not we are striving to be a perfectionist. This is not something that I've encountered that people intentionally say. That's why I say it creeps in. No one says, I want to be a perfectionist. Most people say things like, I just have high standards, or I just want to make sure that this is right. If after listening to this list, you're still not sure, let me just give you some typical examples of how it can show up in our everyday lives. Sometimes you might be very critical of yourself. This can show up in an example where someone gives you a compliment and instead of saying thank you, you might say, yeah, but I still need to lose weight. Or you might be overly critical of other people. If someone is doing well, instead of you complimenting them, you might point out that one thing that they need to have changed to make it even better. Or instead of doing that, sometimes I found that people give a backhanded compliment. That was good, but yeah, you look nice, but. Another way that it can show up in our everyday lives is in the form of work. Say you are terribly sick, but you absolutely refuse to take off work for a day because you don't want them to see you as lazy. You don't want to be seen as a slacker, and you have the idea that I cannot miss work under any circumstances. You see how extreme that line of thinking is. Another work example is if your boss gives you an excellent review, but you hone in on the one thing that he or she wants you to work on, and it ruins your entire day. You might be operating in the spirit of perfectionism. Another example is, if it takes you 30 minutes to send a 5-minute email because it has to be worded just right. Another way that it shows up is, say you want to work out for 30 minutes, but you only have 20 minutes. Perfectionist thinking would say, you know what, since I can't do it right, I just won't do it at all. So instead of getting the 20 minutes in to help you work towards your weight loss goals or your health goals, because you can't meet the 30-minute goal that you set, you'd just rather not do it. As you can see, as we're going through, perfectionism gets in the way of your productivity, even though it feels like you're being productive. It also gets in the way of your peace and your happiness. Why do we pursue perfection in the first place? You know, when I think about it, I look at it in terms of internal standards and external standards. When I look at internal standards, these are my ideal images of myself in different roles as a parent, as a student, as a wife, as a boss, as a leader. For example, I might say, I must be the perfect wife. I must be the perfect girlfriend. I need to be the perfect supervisor. But we have to really examine, where do those thoughts even come from? Because what's happening is I am now competing against an ideal self-image that I have never even explored. When we're looking at external standards of perfection, sometimes our family can place unreasonable expectations on us and put the pressure on us to carry out their dreams or carry the entire family on our back. We have to ask ourselves, am I striving to gain approval of someone who didn't make it or who is not where they want to be in their lives? Or am I actually doing what it is that I believe God wants me to do? Another external base for perfection is society. Society definitely does have standards that they place on us. And it's especially hard for people in certain positions like leaders, politicians, attorneys, doctors, pastors, nurses, athletes, entertainers. People who are in these roles can experience double perfection because not only are they competing with their ideal self-image, they are also competing with society's high expectations, and it can become very hard to manage. That is why sometimes you might think, how in the world did this rich person who appears to have everything commit suicide? Or why did this particular person choose to go down the path of substance use? We have no idea what perfectionistic thoughts they are trying to battle. Another external base for pursuing perfection can be other people. You have to ask yourself, am I striving to get somebody's attention who is not even paying attention to me? Am I competing with someone who is not even in competition with me? Take a listen at this episode again and really go through and find out, why am I pursuing perfection? Is it internally based? Is it externally based? Or is it both? You might be wondering, Dr. Perry, what is the difference between having high standards and perfectionism? Admittedly, this is very hard to define because the line is thin. People who are successful may not notice because we can get results oriented. And we have a lot to show for it because of the hard work that we put in. You might have degrees, awards, money, cars, relationships, clothes, you name it. But we also have to count the costs. I'm definitely not saying that all high achievers are perfectionists, and I'm also not saying that all perfectionists are high achievers. But one thing that I have come to learn is that the difference between high standards and perfectionism is that high standard comes with the gifts of grace, pace, and peace. I'll say that again. High standards come with the gifts of grace, pace, and peace. When you have high standards, there is room for error, there is room for growth, and incompletion. But with perfection, there is no room for grace, there is no room for error, and there is certainly no time for something to not be completed today. With perfectionism, there's a lot of pressure and expectations that are unrealistic. What I'm trying to say is that there's nothing wrong with having high standards, but perfectionistic standards are unrealistic and they are also ungodly. When we're looking at our lives and we're trying to figure out if this is an area that God is speaking to us about, we have to look at the cost. What has perfectionism cost me? When we scurry about doing things just to check off the list, we really don't enjoy the journey because our minds are not fully engaged. So again, I'm more task-oriented. I have got to get this thing done. I don't really care who I run over to get it done or what sacrifices I have to make personally to get it done. I just need to check it off my list so that I can be on to the next thing. We put all of our hope and all of our confidence in outcomes. But then we have to ask ourselves, when we do that, are we really trusting in God? Our identity cannot be attached to perfection because that carries too much weight. And again, there is no room for God when we're pursuing perfection. Another cost is in our relationships. When we strive to be perfect, we end up with unrealistic expectations of ourselves, of God, and of others. I have encountered people who might say things like, you know, I just have to be the perfect husband for her. I have to be the perfect manager in order to get perfect reviews. I have to be the perfect business owner to keep my customers. I have to be the perfect mom so my kids can grow up to be perfect and think I'm perfect too. Now, don't be fooled into thinking, I've never said this. Again, perfectionism creeps in very subtly, so it's very rare that you will hear yourself say these things out loud, but your behavior says exactly what you're thinking. Another cost of perfectionism is your confidence. Think about that for a minute. Perfectionism costs you your confidence because your peace and your self-worth and your confidence is shattered at the slightest mistake. And you also are likely dealing with increased pride. You know why? That's because all the outcomes fall on you. I did that. I achieved that. This person achieved that because I was able to do XYZ. Another cost of perfectionism is anxiety, irritability, depression, avoidance, hopelessness, and sometimes suicidal thoughts. I want to ask you, is being perfectionistic worth it? If it costs you your self-worth, your confidence, your self-esteem, anxiety, irritability, depression, avoidance, eating disorders, hopelessness, and suicidal thoughts, is it really, really worth it? I have some tips that I think will help us move from being perfectionistic to being productive in a spirit of excellence. The first one is be process-oriented rather than product or task-oriented. And what I mean by that is learn to slow down and enjoy the journey along the way. You know, I've often heard that God is more concerned about who you're becoming than where you're going. I really like that because even though God has a certain outcome for us, a certain destination for us, I really appreciate, maybe not in the moment, but I really appreciate the ways that my character develops when I go through certain things that are not perfect. So when we're process oriented instead of task or product oriented, we give ourselves permission to be imperfect, because what that does is it allows room for us to grow. And what it does is hopefully it decreases our pride and allows us to be transparent so that other people in our lives can know that you accept their mistakes too. Another tip is, let's change our vocabulary from having this pursuit of perfection to pursuing a spirit of excellence. And you do that by evaluating your circumstances. For example, if my mom was a stay-at-home mom and she cooked 3 hot meals a day and she cleaned the entire house every day, wouldn't that be unreasonable and unfair for me to hold myself to that standard when I work a full-time job or if I'm a single parent? It's okay to get a meal prep and or a cleaning service. It does not make sense for me to beat myself up because I'm not able to have 3 hot meals a day. Another tip is to ask yourself, what is my view or my expectations of being a Christian? Am I trying to earn God's favor by being perfect? Do I think that Christians shouldn't make mistakes? Do I also think that God wants me to be perfect? And the answer is, God does not want us to be perfect. I mean, it's not a license for us to sin, but it also does not leave room for His grace. The last tip I have is to notice unhealthy and ungodly thoughts and meditate on these scriptures. The first one is Psalm 18 and 32, and it's coming from the New Living Translation. God arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. I like this scripture because it reminds me that I don't have to be perfect and I can rely on God to help me to make progress in whatever it is that I'm pursuing. Another scripture that I can meditate on is Galatians 1 and 10, and this one is found in the New American Standard Bible Version, NASB. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I like this scripture because it is an internal check for my motives for pursuing perfection. So let's move on now to our Dr. Q's Couch segment. Here's a question that I've received. Why should I lower my expectations? When we think about perfectionism, it's not about lowering our expectations. It means you still strive for your absolute best, but you give yourself grace when you don't meet that either at all or when you don't meet it the first time. And you also extend that same grace to other people. It's really about adjusting your expectations and your view of your expectations rather than lowering them. Another question that I get a lot is, if I don't strive for perfection, won't I become lazy and unproductive? This is a very, very good question. It's a normal question. In my experience, the answer to that is no. I think it actually frees you up to engage in more meaningful and valuable activities like personal care, quality time with friends and family, and connecting with God. Let us move on to our prayer segment. Dear God, thank you for another day in your presence. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to you with transparent hearts. Help us to examine our hearts so that we can make room for you to purify them. Let us change our thoughts to align with your word and will for us. Help us to give ourselves grace when we fall short so that we can fully receive the mercy and blessings you have in store for us. Let us pursue a spirit of excellence and productivity, not perfection. Amen. May you go in peace, and until next time, be blessed.